Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
So, Chris, I know for over 23 years you've been working with different companies on progressing with their presentation skills. So have you got any tips for us on that?
You're right. I've been working for 23 years on effective presentation skills in lots of companies all over France and elsewhere. I also work on the MBA program at TBS, and I'm writing a book on presentation skills that is coming out in 2017.
Great, so lots and lots of experience on that. So that the first thing that comes to my mind when I work with people doing presentations is the word stress. So what do you think causes stress?
All sorts of things, but one, what we should do is think about what is stress, first of all. And in fact, at the beginning, in sort of primitive times, stress was to help us. Stress made us run faster, get up trees faster to escape from animals. It was something that actually enhanced our performance, whereas today it becomes debilitating. In terms of presentations, it makes people breathe faster, makes their sweaty palms, it makes them do things that they would never do normally.
Okay, so how can they overcome this stress? Is it possible?
Well, there are, but we'll probably leave that to another podcast. However, a lot of it is to do with self-talk.
What does that mean, self-talk?
Well, people tell themselves that presentations are naturally stressful, and they go in there with stress on them, which doesn't help them at all. However, if stress is channeled, so what I would say is not to get rid of stress, is to keep it, but channel it, because channeled stress is actually energy, which is what we need in the presentation.
Okay, a bit like a sports person.
For example.
To make them run faster, to be more effective.
Any performer, really. But if you look at any performer, they do things that people don't do for presentations. That is, they warm themselves up. They'll warm their voice up. They'll do relaxation techniques, etc. And those are part of the key. No performer would ever step on stage without doing that.
Oh, right. So you're suggesting that people, before a presentation, should take some moments for deep breathing, relaxation?
Yeah. Learn how to breathe, basically.
Learn how to breathe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Control their breathing. So
okay,
that they become in control of their breathing. The stress doesn't take over that.
Okay. Good.
We can talk in another episode on some ideas for doing this, some exercises, but that's in another episode.
Okay. So that was that tip one, or have you got another tip up your
not
sleeve?
Not really. There's lots of tips.
But okay.
That was a to-do.
Okay. Right. As a starter, okay?
So, I'll ask you a question.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I'll turn the table.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think the point of doing a presentation is? Why do a presentation?
Well, I imagine it's to pass information. Is that a trick question? It's surely people want to pass their information on, pass on knowledge.
Okay, so if you wanted to pass on information, why wouldn't you send a Word formatted report instead of standing up?
That's a very good point. And why? That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So what's the difference then between a report and a presentation then? Why?
Okay. Well, what I would
why
say
do
is,
it?
Yeah. What I would say that a presentation is to effect change, is to make things better, faster, cheaper, and more innovative. And it's a time when you want to really convince people about your ideas.
Okay.
A report doesn't do that. A report will probably give some of it. So it's partly to give information, obviously, because you're giving new information, but that's not the key to it.
Okay,
and if we go with that idea, then, and people do that, then what they'll do is they'll have a report on the screen.
Oh, that sounds bad.
You've probably lived through this, where you've seen lots and lots of writing on the slide, and the presenter has read it, probably turned their back on you, spoken slower than you can read it.
Yes.
How did you feel?
Well, I know it's boring. Yeah. And even as a non-expert, really, it's really deadly to read. Yes, it's not, as someone in the audience, it's not very exciting. It's not very stimulating. No. It doesn't engage me. Mm. No. So what would you suggest then?
Well, I think that a lot of the problems that come about with presentations is it boils down to a lack of preparation, whether we're talking about preparing yourself or preparing the presentation. Many don't rehearse, so they don't know how long their presentation is going to last. and you'll see people that either stop well short or go right over the time limit. By the way, nobody has ever complained about a short presentation. Just to say that. What happens is that people don't really prepare themselves. So if I give you an example, and this is an example that actually shocks people, is if you're doing a presentation of between half an hour and an hour, if you want it to be TED quality, then you're probably looking at 90 hours of presentation. People don't often do this. You're going to need 30 hours to write the speech, 30 hours to do the slides, and 30 hours to rehearse fine-tune. But people don't need to do that. However, from nothing to 30 to 90 hours, there is something.
Yes, yeah. But what about, is there the other side of that? People sometimes over prepare. Is that a no-no as well, to over prepare?
Well, I don't think you can actually over prepare, but I think you can badly prepare. And I don't know whether you're thinking about being too prepared is like having a speech that you're reading out.
Yes, that you practice non-stop. Yeah.
And then somebody from the audience interrupts with a question and they lose their space. And also, when they're talking with the reading voice, not the speaking voice. Mm. So that type of bad preparation, I don't think you can over-prepare. Mm. But that's my opinion.
Yes, and I suppose it's not very stimulating for the person listening.
Not at all, no.
Okay, so... Mm. Preparation. What about number two now on your list?
Probably. I would say another one is covering too much material, which we've just come across, but being too ambitious, too many slides, too much writing on the slides. Another one would be trying to be perfect. Perfect is often thought of as a positive trait. In fact, it can be quite a negative trait for yourself and for other people as
Because you mean it puts too much pressure on yourself because you think you're not going to live up to your own expectations?
We're going back to that self-talk again, you know, this idea of you're talking yourself into the fact that you will be criticised, that you'll not be good enough, etc. And you're putting yourself under stress unnecessarily.
And what about for people who are not native English speakers? Does this add an extra dimension to their stress?
What a luxury. What a luxury.
Oh, you think? Yeah.
Well, if they're non-native speakers, it will probably mean that their vocabulary and their the amount of phrases and sentences that they know would probably be less than a native speaker, which means that they need to simplify.
Yes.
They need to get the message across within the same quality, but they need to simplify. You've heard of KISS.
Well, it depends on the context.
Well, in the context of presentations.
Oh, right.
Can you guess what it means?
S must be a simple. It
is. Keep it short and simple.
Oh, okay.
Or keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Good. So what's the next one on your list then?
I think one of the next one, for me personally, is asking questions at the very end of the presentation. Now, the problem with this is... some people can get away with it, and a lot cannot. The problem with this is that you imagine that you've kept the energy up all the way through the presentation. You've had a few negative questions, which you haven't really managed as you should. Think about the audience. If you're going out and you say, okay, that's the end, the audience go out with a negative feeling. And very often it's not about what the people understand, but it's how you make them feel.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you've had some negative, people may not remember all the positive before. It's what we call... And we'll go into this maybe another time. Yeah. This is called the effect of recency. It's the last thing they heard.
Absolutely, yeah. And so what do you mean if you ask a question at the end?
If you ask for questions, you need to be able to wrap your presentation up on your terms.
Okay.
So if, like I said before, you're talking about changing things, then most people will give you 100 reasons why they cannot change, but not one why they can. Mm. So if you're suggesting that you need to change things, then you'll be up against a little bit... of negativity. If you cannot at the end, basically what you're doing is empowering the audience to say maybe something like, you know, well, it's up to you, we can't keep doing things like this, it's in your hands, and wrap it up with good energy.
Are you suggesting that people ask questions during the presentation?
Well, they can ask questions at any point, but what I'm saying is if it's the last thing that people hear is negative questions without you actually winding it up yourself with an end.
Yes.
It's a bit like a book.
Okay.
Yeah, you think about a book. You think about a presentation. A presentation has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm.
If you start reading a book and it doesn't interest you, you're probably going to put that book down.
Surely.
Now, you may pick it up at another point, but you're not going to pick it up for a long time. If you've gone past that and got into the middle, then you'll probably keep reading it. However, if you've got this book from a bookstore, great price, you've been looking for this book everywhere, you come to the end and someone's ripped the last page out.
Mm.
That's like someone having not a finish to their presentation.
Okay.
You know how you feel? That's how an audience feels.
Right.
You feel shortchanged.
Okay. So if I think of another word, is it like kip, which means keep it positive?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I was thinking of sleeping then.
All right. Okay. Right. Next one.
Right. And the number five or six, I can't remember where we are, is thinking that the audience is critical of you as you are of yourself. They generally don't know your weaknesses or whatever. They don't know your vulnerabilities. They don't know often that you've missed a slide. But very often a presenter will say that, and they met the slide
dear.
May not have had no value.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah. And yes.
Now I think that's a very, very, a very good point, especially when people are not speaking their mother tongue. They're so critical of themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't need to be.
Absolutely,
as you said in your previous comments, it can be an advantage.
I think it is. Absolutely.
You keep it simple.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And some people can pull that off.
Yeah.
Some people can't.
Yes.
But another thing is that people will say to an audience, for example, they'll tell them things they don't need to know. For example, they'll say, I'm nervous.
Oh,
which
dear.
To me is totally obvious, because if they're not nervous stood in front of an audience presenting, then they're not very normal.
Mm.
Or there's something, because everybody has some sort of nervous. It's how they channel it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's how they bring it into excitement, into energy, that really, really counts. Mm-hmm. We already know you're nervous. You stood up there.
Okay.
What I would say is another is, which we sort of went across, was reading slides and reading a script. Another one which people often don't like is questions. If you skip questions, then you've missed an opportunity for yourself and for your presentation.
So, because I know some people who they kind of time their presentation, so there's no time for questions, if you like. That's a really bad thing.
Well, if you think about communication, I believe that there's no truth in communication. There's only perceptions. I think I am very clear. I think I've covered it very, very clearly that people can understand. However, that's my perception. It may not be the perception the audience have. So if I don't have any questions, I can't check what they have understood.
Yes.
It's my last chance to rectify this.
Mm.
And I want the audience to remember something. Now, you cannot remember things well if you've been passive.
I totally agree.
If you've been active in some way, saying something, speaking, whatever, then there's a good chance you'll remember a lot more than if you were just listening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's a huge opportunity which people tend to miss, which is a great shame.
Yes, I think that I'm just going to say that again. I think it's a very good idea. Questions are an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Just to finish off for this episode, the last one would be, which it sort of goes with what we said just a minute ago, is having no attention grabber. Now, if you've not, from the outset, got the attention of the audience, then you might just as well go home, draw the curtains, and have a cup of tea.
Well,
because there's nobody listening to you.
Okay.
If you've not got the attention of the audience from the outset, you have a bad start. Very difficult to get it back.
And how would you grab the attention of the audience?
There are all sorts of ways. Yeah. There's no real recipe. But what I would say some things to avoid are asking questions that need an answer from the audience. Because the audience are probably as stressed as you to hear their voice.
That's
and nobody
a good
will
point.
Speak and you'll just fall upon
That's
silence.
A good point.
However, if you have a question which doesn't need an answer, which is a bit rhetorical in some way, then that is probably a good way, because it gets people thinking. And when you have the intonation as well, it also gets people
right.
to prick their ears
out. So if the audience kind of nod their head or put their hand up,
great.
That's good.
Because it's actually doing something.
Okay.
And doing something.
Okay.
When they're doing something, they're not passive, so they're actually active and learning.
But don't expect them to speak.
Not at the beginning, I wouldn't. I wouldn't
okay.
risk it unless you really know the audience and they really know you
okay.
and you know it can work.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't do it to a new audience okay. that's in front of you. But what you could do, for example, you could ask a question like, how many of us came to work by bike? Put your hand up, people will follow you generally. You're not asking a direct question.
Mm.
There's no threat there.
Mm.
So as a last one, it's having no finish as well, what we said before. So you've got this idea of a beginning, a middle and an end. Very often, the beginning is tricky for people because they're a little bit stressed and they haven't prepared it. The middle, we know, is always good because it's someone's project, it's their job, it's something they know something about, they're passionate about. And then having no end is like having that book that you've been looking for with the page ripped out.
Right, and what would you recommend is a good end?
Well, generally a good end. If you've had an objective at the beginning, saying that what we're going to learn in this presentation, you can just go back to that.
Okay.
You could summarise two or three main points that you want people to take away.
Just to recap?
Yeah, exactly. You could summarise just the salient points, as long as it's not too long, because you want to go out with a bang, not a fizzle.
Good.
And the last one, I would say, in terms of communication, is body language.
Okay.
Yeah, people, for example, that are, it can be with posture, it can be with gestures, it can be with your face, it can be with no eye contact, all of these things, they can lead to miscommunication. Hands in the pocket, for example, that could tell us two things. We have a positive and negative spectrum with communication. The positive spectrum is that person's very relaxed. Let's hope that people think that. However, the negative spectrum could be this person just doesn't care.
Mm.
I wouldn't risk going into that positive, that negative section. So I would say, get your hands out of your pockets.
Okay.
And it's also very, very hard to be expressive in any way when you have your hands dug deep in your
pocket.
Very
true, because people do tend to speak a little bit with their hands. That's true. So, well, thanks for all that. So just to finish then, do you have any message, any one message that you could give us so we could feel confident when we do a presentation?
Well, all I would say, and I would go back to this idea of what you mentioned about being stressed, is just be careful how you speak to yourself because you are listening.
Very good point. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Sue.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eslpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.